Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back. Droid Life Show today, episode 242. It is Friday, September 25th. I'm your host, Kellen. With me, Tim. Tim, say hi.
Hey, everybody. What is up? Tim here.
Thanks. Thanks again for joining us. It is a rainy, hopefully no power outage kind of day here in Portland. Hopefully it's much nicer wherever you are. On the show, big stuff because, well, these are in the building. I think we both have one. Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Yes, we both have one. And
I noticed in the chat before we got going, it seems like a number of people actually have Galaxy Z Fold 2s. I just kind of want to call it the Galaxy Fold 2, by the way. The Z thing I can't do.
Yeah, okay. I don't do the Z.
So the Galaxy Fold 2, it looks like some people in the chat dropped the $2,000. Well, hopefully you traded something in and reduced the price because $2,000 is just absurd. Anyway, we'll talk a lot about that because, you know, it's like the phone we've been waiting for all year and we both have one and we have plenty to share as we work towards a review and that sort of thing. It also happens to be the biggest Google leak week in a while. I mean, we know the Pixel 5 and 4a 5G are coming. We know that there was going to be a new Android TV device or Chromecast weird thing. We knew there was a new Nest speaker coming because Google already showed that. Well, all of those things have now leaked like on another level. We know everything about the Pixel 5 and 4a 5G outside of maybe the price on the 5. We've got specs though. But in the Android TV box I was talking about, or Chromecast, it's called Chromecast with Google TV, and people are buying them at Walmart ahead of time. The Nest speaker is actually just called Nest Audio, which is such a weird name, but people are buying those at Walmart too. So those are out there. And remember, Google's supposed to announce this in a week. Anyway, we'll get into that. OnePlus announced a date for the 8T. And yes, they called it the OnePlus 8T. They've announced a couple of specs for it. We have a Galaxy S20 FE to talk about briefly. Kellen's watch, 30 seconds. We'll be back. Because we have an important one to talk about. And then, you know, Amazon announced a bunch of really weird stuff this week. Actually, one really weird thing. The rest of it, not weird, kind of cool. Maybe showing Google where they could improve some stuff, potentially. Especially with the Echo Show. Anyway, we have trivia as well. So trivia this week, the fine folks at iFixit have provided what I believe are some toolkits for three people. We're doing three questions this week.
Yes, sir. So we're going to shorten it up just a little bit just because we have three prizes. So we have three essentials toolkits, which are, you know, they have the essential tools you'll need for kind of tearing apart your phone and fixing them up or doing whatever if you're into that sort of thing. So these kits are awesome. We've given them away in the past and shout out to iFixit. Much appreciated.
Yeah. So if you're new around here, we do trivia at the end of the show. We run through our topics and then we do trivia. And this, normally we do five questions. This week we're doing three, but we'll give those prizes, iFixit toolkits, to three people. Three questions, three winners. It's pretty easy. Nice. All you have to do is stick around and you can win free stuff. Yes.
I like free stuff.
Let's see. Tavares says, looks like Kellen picked up the counterfeit AirPods. I did indeed. These are the non-seized pair that
the CBP, the Canadian Border Patrol or whatever.
No, it's US's, I think. It's just US Border Patrol. We I don't think we've talked about that, but yes, OnePlus Buds showed up and the New York Border Patrol.
Oh, the Customs and Border Protection. Customs and Border Patrol. Excuse me.
They jacked a bunch of them. They seized them, I should say, and called them counterfeit AirPods. And it was actually quite funny because, you know, we wrote up stories about it and OnePlus, I guess their social media team had no idea this had happened. And at the time, like, wrote back and said, hey, those are ours. Give those back. And then the CBP like doubled down a couple days later and was like, no. We know what these are. And they're definitely counterfeit AirPods. Everyone went, no, they're not. Those are OnePlus Buds. You can buy them for $80. And they went, oh, we don't care. We're seizing them. Like, they wouldn't admit the mistake. And then they said there was like, it violated an Apple trademark. I mean, it was whatever. It's kind of funny. It's also unfortunate.
I like it. You know, I mean, we're living in crazy times. I mean, look at them though. Like, we can admit that they look like them, right? I mean, they may not be them, but they look like them.
They're a little bulkier, and they have like this round thing. Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, they could seize these every single day at from Amazon sellers, right? Like how many?
Sure.
How many $20 AirPod knockoff Bluetooth things are pushed through from China through Amazon every single day, and they seize OnePlus buds? Like, come on. Anyway, yeah. these are the ones. Yes, I'm using them because Pixel Buds have failed me on a couple of shows. Anyway, should we talk topics?
We can talk topics real quick. Eric donated $5 in the chat. Thank you so much, Eric. He says, only the second time joining live. I'm on the iOS dark side at the moment, but love keeping up with the news with you guys. Well, thank you so much, Eric. It's not the dark side. You know, there is no light side, dark side anymore. That's so 2010 way of thinking. Yes. You know, I mean, we're all just lovers of technology. So whatever you're rocking, we don't care. Welcome. Thank friends. You for tuning in.
We're all friends. And you know what? You just got, Eric, you just got the big update, right? iOS 14. You've got widgets.
I mean,
you're basically living in Android's world on iOS.
I like it.
So we're cool. We're friends. Yeah, you got different colored bubbles and stuff now. It's probably great.
That's really cool, man.
Thanks for the
congratulations.
All right. So let's talk Galaxy Fold 2 a little bit here. So it came out Friday. It was last Friday. A week ago, the day you could buy it? I think so. I think a week ago, you could buy it. And our pre-order showed up a few days early, thankfully. So we played with them a little bit. We've now had them for a good solid week. So Galaxy Fold 2, I don't think I need to catch you up too much, but $2,000 foldable. It's the follow-up to the original Galaxy Fold, which was, you know, kind of a failure because there was certainly some issues there with the display, durability, all that. So we're back. Galaxy Fold 2, bigger screen on the outside, updated specs on the inside, a better display, foldable display, that is, 120 hertz refresh rate. Still same form factor, about the same size. It's heavy, but it's all spec'd out. Cameras are different. But the improvements there are, you know, in the right places, like the cover display, the internal 120 hertz. Hopefully it's more durable. The notch is gone on the inside. The camera hump on the back is weird and I don't like it, but whatever. That's what Samsung's doing with all of their phones. So you've had it for a little over a week now.
Yep.
Let's hear it. What do you think about the Galaxy Fold 2?
Like, this is the way. I mean, this is like the sickest phone. So next week my review will be up and the phone is great. I understand that it's $2,000, and I get that. But if you can't afford it, it's a sweet phone to have. The cameras are good. The cover display has been the biggest improvement because, you know, last year it just didn't look wasn't very aesthetically pleasing to look at the outside.
It looked like a first-gen device for sure.
Totally. And this one, I mean, they improved everything I wanted them to improve. Nice big cover display. It reminds me of like a Sony phone. Actually, it reminds me of that Gem phone that was going to come from Essential.
Yeah,
it does. Long, actually. Tall, narrow. It looks like a remote, you know? But so it's good. They improved everything they needed to. Battery life has been great. The camera samples that I've taken have been Samsung camera samples. I mean, they're good. You know, the only thing that I wish it had was sort of like an astrophotography mode. And I know I'm super nerdy like that, but that's the one thing where I still need a pixel because if I want to take pictures of the sky, which I'm just really into, then I still need a pixel phone. So, and I know Samsung could do it. They probably just maybe don't see like a way to market it very well. Maybe that, or they're just like, man, there's not a huge need for it. But so like, that's the one thing where I'm like, okay, pixel cameras are still dominant in that department. Like there's better modes for me personally. Other than that, performance freaking awesome. Like ultimate couch phone, man. I've been playing games on this thing. The 120 hertz interior display, totally awesome. Like there's nothing I don't like about this phone. Yes, it's a little bulky. Yes, it's hard to like wear my short shorts with it. I can't get it wet. I'm afraid to like get dust with it. I don't touch it with greasy hands. Like there's these little things. But when we're talking straight lounging on the couch, on the in the bathroom doing my thing. Like, you don't want any other phone than the Z Fold 2. And that's just all there is to it. So with that being said, I mean, this is like my early vote for phone of the year. Easily. I mean, Samsung just stepped it up so big. It feels so good, too. I know you mentioned you have problems opening it just because, like, you want a fingernail or something to kind of get in there. But
yeah,
I don't
really
have that
problem.
It just needs
something, like, grippy. And there's nothing really to grip to open it. And I found myself, like, putting, like, a fingernail in there, which then scared me that I was going to, like, put that fingernail on the display. You just have to get used to prying it open. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's a minor gripe, right?
It is. I really think it's, you know, for a foldable phone, it's pretty much perfect. For just like if you're into the fold sort of experience, I just don't know how you get much better than this. And that's, you know, I'll be talking about that in my review. So if anyone has questions about the Z Fold 2, feel free to send them in.
Yeah, I think for the most part, I've enjoyed using it. I haven't wanted to chuck it on a desk yet. You remember like the Razr as a flip phone, couldn't stand that thing, wanted to get rid of it right away. I used the Surface Duo for a while, and there are some things I like about the Surface Duo over this. Like having two separate displays, I think actually might be more useful than this just from like a multitasking perspective. Sure. But the Surface Duo obviously had massive problems. Like the software sucks and there's the camera, it doesn't really exist. There's no cover display. So that has its issues. But this phone, I haven't wanted to get rid of it, right? I haven't had the itch to just grab a normal phone. The only times I would say that are, yes, when you talk about how heavy it is, because I mean, this thing is an absolute tank. Like you put this in shorts, you put it in even in jeans, whatever, you can tell because it's just so heavy. And then it's just big, you know, like you can use the cover display finally, which is great, but it's so big, like pulling it out to take a picture. It's like you're holding this weighty thing that you're trying to snap pictures with. So that's a little awkward. And then, you know, unfolding it all the time, which is what you want to do when you're out and about away from home, that just kind of becomes do I unfold it? Should I not? Should I just use the cover display? I mean, again, thankfully the cover display is greatly improved. But those are kind of my only complaints about it are that it's heavy and there's a little bit of awkwardness when you're not just sitting at home on the couch or at your desk, right? Like in public, taking it out and using it and just taking pictures. Like those are just things I think you have to adapt to because it's such a heavy, clunky thing. But otherwise, and I guess one of the complaints about the original Fold was you had to worry about it all the time. Remember we talked about like we were worried like where we set it, who touched it, all of those things. Those are still in play. Maybe
not as much.
Yeah, not as much though. Yeah. So like I still won't really give my kid the thing.
Nope.
But I like setting it down, you still have to worry about water and things. So I just find myself strategically placing it not near the sink or whatever if I'm cooking or whatever. So there are still those worries, but yeah, it doesn't feel the same. Like I feel like Samsung dialed in some of the durability issues enough that I feel more comfortable. But in the end, you're still holding a $2,000 device. And so I have found myself babying it more than just about anything, but maybe that's okay. And I'm not going to put a case on it because it's already so huge and heavy that I can't be doing that. Otherwise, it's pretty sweet. I mean, you know, you wake up in the morning, grab your thing, you check your couple of notifications and you just go, you know, I don't want to look at this little display. So let's do this on the big one. And then you just open it up. You got emails on big and you're reading the news and whatever. And it's 120 hertz. And then you sit on the couch and you just have this mini tablet thing.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh no, I need to type or something. So maybe you close it and you type if you want. You've got flexibility.
There is that flexibility factor. A lot of questions.
The battery life's great too.
Yeah, battery life. It's a 4,500 milliamp hour battery. And so for a device of this size, you know, I don't know exactly what maybe you would expect. I don't know what you're getting. I know I've been doing a lot of gaming. I'm back on Fallout Shelter. So I have like 3+ hours played every day. And I'm getting 4 to 5 hours, like easily. And I'm going to bed with like 20-30% left. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, and with the 120 hertz and all this stuff, like the way I'm using the phone, I feel like I'm getting very good battery life.
I think so.
So
yeah.
Yeah, especially at the 4,500 milliamp hours. So battery life seems really good. Also, someone said early vote phone of the year. It's nearly October. Well, for October, we don't even have the Pixel phones yet, and the Sony still has their Mark II coming out of the Xperia 5. So there's other things that are coming. So October is sort of early for a phone of the year vote.
Yeah, battery life for me has been about the same. I've kind of been hammering on it because I'm at home still. There's lots going on, reading lots of news. I'm on there a lot watching videos now because when you have a mini tablet, like watching videos on it, you don't have to flip it landscape. It just kind of shows the in a big enough way, which is kind of fun. But so, yeah, I'm with you. Probably 4 to 5 hour screen on time. I'm going to bed with like the lowest, I think, has been 10-15%. I think that was a day where I watched a lot of video or put a video on for my kid or something. Most of the time it's like 20%. I feel like I've hammered on the thing. So, yeah, battery life has
totally. Hassan is asking about the typing experience. So that's one of the awkward things on the device. So I've been using Gboard.
Yeah,
it comes
too.
Preloaded with Samsung keyboard, but like I just can't. So I download Gboard, and it's not really designed, I would say, for a device such as this. Like on the front display, it's really kind of cramped. And I use the swiping, like the gesture typing, which is okay. It's pretty darn good. It's not as bad as it was like on the Jelly phone, right? It's not that compact. However, on the large display, it's like almost too big, and I find myself really dragging across the screen. So there's no real good in between. I suppose if you go one-handed mode inside of Gboard on the large display, that's like a decent in the middle type of sizing for it. So typing, little awkward. Like tapping is okay, like two thumb
and
typing.
I'm a tapper, so
yeah. and I like swiping, so it's sort of like a personal thing, but it's a little awkward. We had a couple other questions. Oh, does it feel like it's $2,000? I would say absolutely.
It
I mean
does,
but like
actually
but what does $2,000 feel like? I mean, it's heavy, right? And it's glass, it's slippery. This is weird. Kellen and I both decided that we wanted to put skins on the backside. And so
we don't put skins on anything.
We don't do skins. We don't believe in that stuff. However, this phone is so slippery and such a fingerprint magnet.
Yeah, look at the back.
That the skin feels like a good idea. So I reached out to D Brand. I was like, yo, guy, send me some skins, because once the review is up and we have all of our pretty pictures done, I'm going to slap a skin on this bad boy. And I think I'm going to love it, because
that is not
unlike
sponsored, by the way. We have no affiliation
it is not.
With them whatsoever.
No, of course not. Never. But unlike a case, you know, which might add a bit of girth or bulkiness, a skin is going to protect that backside and cut rid of those fingerprints without adding any type of size to it. So a skin seems like a good idea.
Yeah, but it does kind of feel like $2,000 worth of phone, which is always going to sound awful and weird, because
totally
no one should ever probably pay $2,000 for a phone. But I guess what I'm comparing it to is, well, Samsung and some of these other companies are asking $1,200 for their high-end phones. And I think we've grown accustomed to paying that for high-end phones. And so then when you do this, where you almost have two phones in one, or a mini tablet and phone in one, and it has all the specs and it's got top tier everything, you kind of go, and it folds. You go, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say it's a $2,500 phone, but $2,000, you feel, it kind of feels right in line with maybe what we should be paying, even though it still sucks to be paying $2,000 for it, if that makes sense.
Totally. I mean, if this thing was $1,500, I would just be like, sell everything you got, get the Z Fold 2. Yeah. But at $2,000, it's sort of a stretch. Solved FYI says, I've never bought anything other than a fridge that cost $2,000. He must have a really bad car. And then says, there are $200 phones out there. Like, of course there are $200 phones. This just isn't what that's trying to do. Right. This is a foldable premium device, so it's going to cost more than $200. I don't have to sit here and try and sell the device. Like, and I'm not trying to, I'm just trying to tell you what my experience has been. This phone sells itself, right? I mean, it's a cool device, and clearly we have other people in the chat who have one, who, and they seem to like it. I mean, the reviews from what I've seen you know, all the feedback so far has been really positive for the device, unlike the original, which kind of came in and had a real blunder. You know, they held off releasing because the devices were just breaking left and right in reviewers' hands. So, you know, I think Samsung really stepped it up on this one. And the fact that the cost did not, it didn't get any more expensive.
Like what?
Is a bucks? Testament. Is a testament to, yeah. And also solved, I mean, your house, I don't know where you're living, dude, but $2,000 for a house, maybe if you're in Tennessee. And I say that because their property taxes and income taxes are very low. That's why I say that. Not because Tennessee is, you know, backwoods country or anything. I love that. I love Tennessee. There was something else. How's the weight, really? I don't have, like, the...
It's heavy.
It's heavy,
it's
man.
So heavy. I mean, you hold this thing and it, you notice it. The thing is, when it's folded, I swear it feels heavier when it's folded. It's probably because when you unfold it, like the weight distribution, you know, it makes it not feel like when it's like this, it feels like the weight feels proper because yes. it's distributed it's like widely. But when you fold it, it just feels like a little tank. When it's folded, it's I swear it feels heavier. And it's just kind of an awkward size when it's folded. So I mean, you'll notice it if you're used to. I picked up a Pixel 4 XL yesterday and went, this thing is so light because I'm just so used to this little tank here.
Yeah. So the Note 20 Ultra weighs 208 grams,
which is pretty heavy.
That's pretty heavy. And the Z Fold 2, 282 grams. Okay. Yeah. So I mean, it's solid. Yeah. Clinton says, luckily, no one in Tennessee has interwebs. Yeah, they won't have to hear me talking nonsense, but no, I love Richard Tennessee. Said, it's not
working. How's the 720p narrow front screen? So you'll notice the resolution. That doesn't bug me. I have mine set up to only have a few shortcuts. I sort of use it even unlocked as if it's a cover display where I just don't really want to do much. But the refresh rate, because it is 60, going from 120 inside out to the 60. Is one area that I hope they improve next year because it does get a little jittery. And look, I just don't use it for much because it's such a weird, stretched out, skinny thing. But I use it sometimes to type messages, sometimes just to quickly check notifications. And you can do everything you want, which is what's so great. But yeah, I mean, do you find yourself using the front display very often? Mostly when just flip it open, right?
Well, when I'm out and about, say when I'm at the store, I'm going to pay for things with Samsung Pay. Shout out Samsung Pay. It's all about that front display. Like when I'm out of the house, I don't think I ever open it up. Like when I need to take a picture of something, I use the outer display and all that. Cause I really almost don't want to take a chance. Right. Cause I don't know what's outside, you know?
Well, and that's one of the differences with this model is you can just kind of rely on the front. Whereas the other one had such a weird small display.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean,
it's SBL says I can't tell the difference between the 120 and 60. You're crazy, really? I can totally see it. If you're on the inside display and then you close and you just scroll on something, it just looks jittery. I feel like it's pretty noticeable, but
I mean, but it's still not bad, right? I mean, it's
fine. It does what it needs to do. And I'm sure next year they'll make it 90 or 120. I mean, the Galaxy S20 FE, which we're going to talk about, has 120 hertz, and it's a $600 or $700 phone. So
I think there is scientific evidence to suggest that, like, you know, people with, older people can't maybe see higher refresh rates. That might be a thing. I don't know.
It's like a science thing. Okay, so then is this you're sticking with this going forward no matter what? Or I guess it kind of depends. Pixel 5 shows up. Are you going to set this thing down and just go with the Pixel 5?
Now that we know that the Pixel 5 comes in a freaking like baby Yoda color, I gotta have two. I gotta have both phones. And plus, I know the Pixel 5 is gonna have that astrophotography. Like, I just I hope the Pixel 5 is good, you know. And from what I've seen so far, it looks like it'll be just fine. So I wouldn't mind kind of going back and forth between those two devices.
Yeah, Hassan says, does the software do it justice?
Oh,
does it make good use of it? I don't. It's tough to say.
Yeah, see, yeah. I don't think it does necessarily take advantage of that. And the way that some apps interact on the device is weird. So
yeah.
Instagram, maybe I can just show you real quick. Instagram does a thing where it blocks off half of the, or not half, but it gives you these edges.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this weird layout, but I think I like this actually because it doesn't stretch the resolution of the photos or anything. I think it looks good. On the previous iteration, it did. It made Instagram look terrible.
Yeah.
Twitter, on the other hand, I think, god awful because it stretched out the entire width of the display. And Kellen hasn't seemed to like mind it, but I really don't care for it. I think it's clunky.
They need to give us like maybe there is, but they need to give us a way to scale individual apps or something.
Exactly. And so I was looking for that, and there is like, there's a zoom or like a screen zoom for certain things, but that it messes with Gboard, so don't do it. Uh-oh. It makes it totally unusable. Okay. So there needs to be more work with the software. Uh-huh. However, someone mentioned that they were going to choose between this and a dual screen LG V60. Like, I mean, if you care anything about updates, if you care anything about like a software experience and you have the money to burn, like don't do the V60, man. Like don't do it. Don't do it.
But I think the software, I don't really know that Samsung's done much to really highlight it. The only thing they ever really talk about is that you can run multi-window up to three windows. Like, I don't know who the hell does that.
It's not even that good.
Like. No, you can. The one use case I've found, well, because for number one, the screen's not big enough to really cram two apps and have the viewing experience be good, because it basically makes two cover displays side by side. So then you have this really skinny experience in apps, which isn't good either. So I don't think they've actually done anything cool with the software to make it take advantage of the wider screen. What you're just getting, though, is a mini tablet. So you have the phone screen on the outside, and then you have this mini tablet. So rather than them doing a bunch of stuff to take advantage of it, which I'm not sure what they would do, you kind of don't, at least I don't really look at it as them needing to. I just want the mini tablet experience where I just have bigger screen on the inside, if that makes sense. Because the multi-window stuff, like you can set up shortcuts where it'll launch two apps just like you could on Surface Duo. But yeah, you just get two skinny panels. And so I don't know. They do have some apps that they need to work out issues with, like Tim said, with Instagram. I have a couple, like I opened a couple other apps today and they were the same thing with the side panels. And I don't like that look, but it also is probably okay that it's not stretching everything like Twitter does. So did they take advantage of the screen? Not really with any special software, but I guess I'm not worried about that because I just wanted a bigger screen on the inside is really all I care about.
So. Yeah, clearly we have a lot to say. So if you have more questions, feel free to send them in. Until then.
Such an interesting device, yeah.
Yeah, be on the lookout for our review. It's going to be up next week, early next week. Yeah, we've been using the phone for a week, so I'm about ready to hit it hard, the review.
Yeah, we'll have some more videos and stuff too. So anyways, yeah, shoot us questions if you guys have them. Should we talk all the Google leaks?
Let's do it, man.
All right, so Google has an event on September 30th. You guys know that. It's going to be streamed and they're going to announce hardware. It's their fall hardware event. We know we're getting Pixel 5, Pixel 4a 5G because they already told us that. We know we're getting a new Nest speaker because they already showed that. And then there's obviously been these rumors of this Chromecast with Google TV device. It, you know, this week at all, it's all basically been outed, which kind of makes September 30th a little less fun. But this is how it works with every single Google hardware event. We know everything beforehand because they send stuff to retailers and retailers are clumsy with the info and they post it earlier. They preload stuff and everyone finds it. And so then it's all out there. So we have Pixel 5. It will come in black. And as Tim mentioned earlier, a Baby Yoda green. And so we've seen the device. We know exactly what it looks like front and back. It looks like a Pixel 4a with an extra camera and what will be a 90 hertz display. The 4a 5G is going to come in black, possibly white as well. Same thing, just slightly bigger display, only 60 hertz. And we know that'll be $500. The Pixel 5, we think, could be anywhere from $630 to $700. The pricing we've seen in Europe is 630 euros. So US could be 650, could be 700. You know, there was the 700 survey that was sent out like months ago at this point that suggested it would be 700. So we can still stick with that. As far as specs go, I mean, we know them all. They both have 765 processors, 6-inch and 6.2-inch displays. The Pixel 5 will have 8 gig RAMs. That's like a top RAM mark for Google, right? 8 gig RAM.
That's huge.
6 gig RAM in the 4A 5G. They each have 128 gig storage. 4,000 milliamp hour battery in the Pixel 5, which is big for Google. That should actually excite everyone, is that the battery. The Pixel 5 have wireless charging and 18-watt fast charging. The dual camera setup, though, thankfully, this year is a normal 12 megapixel with a wide angle. Whereas last year, remember, they gave us the telephoto on the Pixel 4 and we all said, huh? They have 5G, no Wi-Fi 6, which is kind of weird, but I guess that's maybe keeping the price down. And the Pixel 5 should be aluminum. The Pixel 4A 5G is a plastic phone. No shocker there. They both have stereo speakers and fingerprint readers on the back. I mean, the specs are not exciting. But
no,
the price and probably the baby Yoda. Yeah, the price is what is going to sell everyone. You know, $500 for the 4A 5G, probably a good price there. You get an upgrade in processor over the 4A. You get a slightly bigger display. So
it's still not 90 hertz, still 60 hertz. It's
still
right?
60 hertz. You do have a headphone. Yeah,
don't buy
jack,
that phone. Care.
Yeah, I don't know really why you would go with the 4A 5G unless your budget really just stops at 500. But look at the Pixel 5 between $600 and $700 is just going to be a pretty good buy. Although we'll talk about the Galaxy S20 FE in a little bit and it kind of puts it to shame. So that's going to, and then the 8T we know is coming probably at a good price and its specs will probably put the Pixel 5 to shame. So the price sounds okay, but I think we're going to look at those other phones and everyone's going to criticize the hell out of the Pixel 5, which is probably fair, but it seems like it could be a good deal.
I mean, I wasn't even feeling this phone until yesterday when I saw that green color. Because I'm like, I'm such a freaking Mandalorian fanboy for some odd reason. Don't ask me why. I'm just really like drawn to cute things. So, yeah, I mean, the phone, you know, it's nothing. I don't think it's anything special. I think it's Google trying to figure out what their niche is going to be, because clearly like premium high-end phones ain't it. They had such a hit with the 3A, and then the 4A was even like sort of a departure from that. Like, it's just not even like a good phone. So
it's a good phone. It's just not for you and I. Everyone else loves it. You and I are just like, whatever.
I just, you know, I get it. I just feel like they could have done, especially when with Nord coming, when the US gets, when OnePlus launches the US version of Nord or something like the Nord, I don't see why anyone would get a 4A. Or camera. 4A 5G, or even the 5, really, because, I mean, even if you just import with the Nord, like, if you want to do something like that, it's like a better phone, man.
Well, you're getting more.
You're getting a lot more for that lower end, for that money.
Yeah, you're so just not getting the nicer display, but you have a better camera. It's.
I'm totally fine saying the 4A is like not a good phone. Just because OnePlus kind of destroyed it. And I think it's okay to say that.
Yeah. I the only thing I would say is, since the Nord has certainly had hardware issues, they're still working on software. The camera obviously is complete buns. So.
Well, let's talk about Google real quick. Someone said, Malik says, the problem with Google is the only reason they failed at the premium space is because of themselves. They wanted to price premium but take head-scratching shortcuts. So it's not even like these shortcuts. Yeah, the 4 XL, let's just use the Pixel 4 as the example. So 6 gig RAM for like a phone that started at, what, $899? And then it was the Soli, this Project Soli nonsense, like this tech that was totally worthless. I don't know if they ever really had a plan for it. No. It was cool when they showed it off in like 2015 or whatever.
Yeah.
On a watch or like a smart speaker, right? You don't actually have to touch anything. You just do it for the phone. It just doesn't work, man. And not only does it not work, they never proved to anyone that it worked. They never proved that it was going to be like a cool feature that you needed to have. Like, yeah, face match, like it worked. It unlocked your phone quickly. But in terms of usability or features or integrating that into apps, like it just never came to fruition. So totally worthless. And now it's gone. So Google, they screwed themselves a little bit. And yeah, the pricing for that, like we don't know how much a Soli Radar chip cost to put in a phone, but that phone was just way too expensive and it had a outdated processor. And that's the problem every time with these Google phones, which is why I'm okay with the 765G. Not a bad chip at all. Every time Google launches their flagship, comes in the later part of the year, and then a month later, Qualcomm announces their next processor, and then another month later, Samsung releases a phone with that processor. So Google is just always a little bit behind, I feel like, and we've written about this before. So yeah, they like need to change their timeline. Like it needs to be flipped.
Well, they
we
did
need to get
this
that
year a little bit.
Phone.
They have this weird timeline, right? Like the 4A, obviously COVID. It was COVID, but. But yeah. Then they like now they're doing the 4A, which was obviously delayed. But then there's this 4A, 5G and the 5. And I actually think they were going to launch them separately. Like I think the 4A, I think was going to launch in May. And I think the 4A, 5G was probably going to be like August. And then I think the 5 was going to come at normal time or maybe even earlier. And they got that got set back too. This phone just seems. I was very excited for because they're just Google's Pixel phones, right? We got really excited. Like even the 4, 4XL was really excited. Then as we got closer and we started finding out that it was only 6 gig RAM and only 64 storage to start, and it had the giant forehead, we started souring on it. This phone, I didn't, when we learned long ago that it was going to run a 765 and not an 865, I think the expectations drop. And so now we're at the point where we're going, well, this actually might be okay because it's not doing anything weird. They upped the RAM and the storage. The price might be pretty good. It sells 9 here. They got rid of the stupid Soli. The phone front is actually balanced. We don't have a stupid notch. We don't have a giant forehead. Like you look at the phone, it looks balanced in terms of bezel. So I think, I kind of wrote about this a couple of weeks ago where I said it's going to be boringly good or whatever. It's just going to be a good phone, I think. They're going to put it out. It's going to be around 650 or whatever, and you'll get decent specs. I don't think you should expect it to be the greatest phone on the planet, except you're going to pay that price and get one of the best cameras. And so I think the expectations are lower, especially after the bust that was the 4 and 4XL launch. And so I think this one's a little different just because we're not expecting it to be the Galaxy S20 or the Note 20. We're just like, Google's going to slot this phone in and they probably won't market it. And a bunch of us will buy it and be like, this is pretty sweet. And there just won't be the need for them to make the best phone ever made. And so I think that's why this year seems so much different. I'm not really excited for it, but it looks interesting enough and I'll get one. And like you said, it could be a good companion phone next to
Next to the Z Fold 2. Yeah.
Kind of a weird year for Pixel. And maybe it's COVID or maybe they just didn't know what they were doing this year. I don't know. They just needed to change it.
Yep. And like every year that we tell people, wait until, if you're not in a rush, wait till Black Friday, Cyber Monday to buy your new Pixel phone, man, because they're always either discounted or you get some sweet stuff with your purchase. Like, just wait. Just hold off. We say that every year.
Yeah. Even if this thing launches at 700, there's a good chance by Black Friday it'll be 50 to 100 bucks off. So if you can wait a little bit, you might want to wait a little bit.
Yeah. And if you're a Samsung or you don't mind Samsung phones, like that Galaxy FE, I don't even know. Yeah. Okay. We're talking about that here in a little bit. But like the FE, we should probably talk about that too. Obviously, not just today during the show, but it should be in the conversation of phones you might even consider. And to quickly throw in with that Pixel 5 or just Pixel phones in general, like you do get the software support. So I don't want to, you know, it's not just about the specs, right? Like I still love Google software and the updates and all that. You know what I mean? that's just like one of the draws to their devices. So,
well, so my dad, he's been running, a OnePlus 6 or 6T for almost 2 years now, and he's having all sorts of issues with it on Verizon. And trying to help him, I was looking up like text messaging, OnePlus 6 Verizon, and everyone in the world who tries to run that phone on Verizon has text messaging issues and all sorts of crap. So he finally is just frustrated. He's like, I need a new phone. This thing's like 2 years old. And I went, all right, Pops, what should you get? He doesn't want to spend $1,000. So I was like, you know what? The Pixel 4a is probably great for you. It's only $350. You like to take pictures and you'll get updates all the time. And he's one of those that talks about it. Like he tells me like my OnePlus 6 got an update. So he got a 4a. And that's kind of the thing is, I told him like, okay, well, obviously you love taking pictures of stuff. He hikes all the time in Montana. So that's great. And I was like, you're going to get updates all the time. I go, you already got Android 11, right? He goes, yep, already running it. And so those things about the Pixel are, at least when I recommend phones, which sucks because a lot of times we recommend Pixel phones to people and then something is issue with like a hardware flaw or something, right? And then we have class action suits or whatever. But they're easy to recommend because they're the basics. They're not a bunch of overdone skins, and then they get an update constantly. Like people are always running the new stuff. And so when you go to help people, because a lot of times our job is to help our friends and family with tech issues, we can always know what software it's running if it's a Pixel phone. And with the Samsung phone, I don't know. With the OnePlus phone, I don't know. Pixel phones, you kind of always know where they're supposed to be. And then, you know, whether or not they end up in the long run being great phones or not, is Google's got to work on that. Anyways, so Pixel 5, 4a, 5G, we know everything. They will show up next week. And you'll probably be able to buy them right away, I'm assuming.
I would think so. Baby Yoda. And like, if you guys could just hold off, if you do plan on ordering, if you could like hold off ordering for like, give me 5 minutes after it's announced to like get my Baby Yoda order in, then you can order. Cause like, if I can't get Baby Yoda, I don't think I want the phone.
I don't want the black one, no.
Yeah, I don't want a black one. Green.
The green's gonna sell out. It's gonna be so hard to get. Hopefully they don't make it a limited. Like November. Well, yeah, and hopefully they don't make it a. Oh, yeah, that's what they're gonna do. The black one's available now. The green one's coming in a month. We're gonna go.
Oh, I would just freaking lose it.
All right. Anyway, let's talk about Chromecast with Google TV just quickly. So Chromecast with Google TV is going to be Google's, it's not their first Android TV device because they had the Nexus player, but it's their first in a long time. So Android TV appears to be getting rebranded to Google TV. We've come full circle here. So we're going back to Google TV. It's going to be a Chromecast branded device where they're slapping Google TV onto it. It's going to cost $50. It'll come with a remote with Google Assistant and volume and an input button and back, play, pause, whatever. So for $50, you'll be able to get a Google-made Chromecast that has Google TV. It has leaked everywhere. It's going to be like $50, which is an insane price. I hope
it's going to slay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you would not buy it. That's the same price as, or is that cheaper than the Chromecast Ultra? I think it's cheaper, actually. I think Chromecast Ultra is $60.
$60.
Yeah, so cheaper than a Chromecast Ultra, yet it has full Google TV. It has 4K, HDR, whatever. It's going to be awesome, but it's leaked everywhere. People have been buying them at Walmart. I'm sure they're not anymore, but people were. It should come in a few different colors, although I don't know why you need different colors. It just goes behind your TV. It's going to be sweet. I mean, I have Shield TVs on the two TVs I have in the house. So I don't need one, but I mean, if you don't have Android TV yet, you should just get this thing. I don't even need to use it. Now I'm just going to tell you, like, just buy one. It's going to be sweet.
Yeah, just get one. I have a Shield TV like in my upstairs bedroom, and I will just replace that because I don't use the Shield TV like to its full potential or anything. Okay. Like, this is going to just be so much easier. I'm always having to plug in like the Shield remote or like the controller, you know, not always obviously, but like every couple of weeks. And so like this is just gonna be a plug it in and forget it kind of thing. Like the UI looks so sick. People are saying Roku over everything. Nah. Roku.
I've never used a Roku in my life. I think I did at a rental one time because that was what they had hooked up to the rental TV. I know people like Roku and they still sell, I think, lots of them. I've never used one.
People love Roku, but I just don't. I'm not a huge fan of it.
I have like zero opinion on Roku. I like I said, I used one once a couple of years ago. I have no idea. But this thing,
$50.
And yeah, it's gonna, it has the new Google TV, Android TV UI, which I'm assuming it will come to all of them. And it'll get updates fast. Not that, I mean, Shield were what, like 4 or 5 years of updates into some of these Shield TVs. But this one, because it's Google made, it should get the newest Google TV software first and all of that stuff. So, Nest Audio is the next speaker that will replace the regular Google Home. It might even replace Google Home Max. It just might. It's going to cost, well, no, because it's only going to cost like $100. So maybe not, but
can't.
Yeah. So Nest Audio is the new speaker. Google showed this to us a while ago once the FCC outed pictures of it. But it's also been showing up at Walmart's in two colors, the chalk, sort of light gray, and then charcoal, the darker color. The couple of people that bought it at Walmart took to Reddit and said it sounds amazing. It sounds way the hell better than the regular Google Home, which isn't saying much.
That's not hard to do.
No. So the first impressions, obviously, when somebody buys something, they always love it right away. But supposedly it sounds really, really great. You can pair it stereo pairs, and Google's pitching it as make like a home theater system with them. So maybe there's some extra software tricks going on there. But at $100, it seems like it's going to be a really good deal if you don't already own a bunch of smart speakers. It could be a good buy. So those three things are coming. Yeah. Is there anything else coming to the Google hardware event? Those three, right?
No Pixel Watch.
We thought maybe a new Nest thermostat just because we saw one at FCC. And there's rumors of a new Google Wi-Fi, a cheaper one, which I'm going, Google Wi-Fi is already cheap, isn't it? Maybe it's not that cheap. There's rumors of a new Pixel Book, but a lot of those things we haven't seen leak on this level. So if those things are coming, it might be later in the year. But next week, the 30th, I can't believe it's next week, Pixel 5, 4a, 5G, Chromecast, Google TV, and Nest Audio. And the Nest Audio and Chromecast, Google TV, I mean, like I said, Walmart has them already. They're putting them on shelves. I'm assuming once the 30th rolls around, you're going to be able to walk into a store and buy them that day if you want to. So kind of crazy.
Anthony says we need Google like Nest Wi-Fi with Wi-Fi 6. Yeah, I mean, like that was like the main issue with the Nest Wi-Fi, man. But they just released it, so like there's no way they do it this year. It's got to be next year, I would think. But the fact that it didn't come with Wi-Fi 6 was like a total. It was that bad. Hurt.
Yeah, Wi-Fi 6 was just starting to take off, and Google doesn't update their Wi-Fi products very often. So to see them skip that. Not good. And like Amazon, which we'll talk briefly about, they had a big hardware event yesterday, and Eero, which is a Wi-Fi company they own, just announced, you know, new Eeros with Wi-Fi 6. So Google's going to be left behind there. But they put a Google Home Mini or something in it, Tim. It's cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's stupid. I disabled that. Like, I just don't want it. I don't need everything in my house listening to me, man. Like, call me crazy, but I only need a couple of things listening to me. I don't need my position completely triangulated inside of my own house, like constantly with microphones and the Nest Cam on my Nest Hub Max. Like, I don't need that, because I'm going to have a drone in my house soon enough that's going to be like my little surveillance guy, so which we're going to talk about too, but not yet. Also, real quick, shout out to all the Roku lovers in our chat. You guys clearly love Roku, so shout out to y'all.
I'm telling you, people love Roku's awesome. My only understanding of Roku is that people love it, and I just have no idea anything about it. I seriously have no opinion. Once, on it. Yeah,
yeah, I used it once at an Airbnb because I wanted to watch something. I signed up for a free trial of Sling TV on it, and then that was it.
Yeah, that's the only thing I've ever used. That is, yeah, at an Airbnb, a rental. And it worked for the moment, but otherwise I have no idea.
I like my Shield TV. I still think Shield TV is the greatest like TV experience you can get. Like the little tube guy, I freaking love that thing, man. Yeah, like but once this Chromecast, $50, and like it's gonna have all the apps I need. Like, and I don't really need gaming on it. Like, whatever, let's go, dude. Flossarelli says, Tim, you know you want that new Amazon drone inside your house. Yes, I do. Like, I actually do. If that thing can go upstairs or like via an update, maybe, because they did not show it off like in their little promo video. We'll talk about this later. We're going to talk about all of Amazon's new stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, that's Google stuff. We can move on from Google. We'll talk OnePlus 8T briefly. So OnePlus announced the 8T date of October 14th. So they already called it the OnePlus 8T. That is the name of it. In the announcement for that, they didn't suggest it's the 8T family or line. They just said the 8T. So we don't think there's an 8T Pro, and there hasn't been a leak of an 8T Pro. All we've had is 8T leaks. We've seen renders now of it. We pretty much know what it looks like. And then OnePlus has started doing that tease thing that they do all the time when their new phone's coming, because it's free publicity, which is smart. We know it has warp charge 65, so faster warp charging than ever before. And it will have a 120 hertz refresh rate on a flat display, so no garbage curve display. Hopefully they're going away from that. It should be fine. I'm not super excited about the 8T just yet because I don't know the price, but I think it'll be a really good phone. I just don't know how much of an improvement it is over, you know, the 8 Pro and 8, because the camera leaks, I think, suggested it kind of just sounds like a Nord camera setup or an 8 camera setup. And look, the only good camera that OnePlus has ever put in a phone was in the 8 Pro. So if it's not on that level, I'm going to be disappointed in the 8T.
It doesn't even come in Baby Yoda green, so I'm not even like paying attention to it.
And it kind of just looks like the renders I think we saw, it just sort of looks kind of Nord-ish, which is just kind of a copy of like Realme and Oppo phones. I wish OnePlus, I know that they're really weird about this whole BBK branding thing and these sub-brands. Yeah. I just wish they would still have their own identity. And they kind of did for the longest time. And now it seems like they're turning into just the same as these other sub brands. You know, a lot of people aren't happy that they essentially adopted Samsung's One UI. You know, the design language of the Nord just looks like one of those other phones. So I hope they don't fully go down that path. I'd love to see them retain sort of that edgy, independent style that OnePlus was, even though they weren't, but you know what I mean? And I don't, so I'm a little worried for where the brand is headed. Maybe a topic for another day, but sort of my thoughts on OnePlus at the moment.
Interesting.
Galaxy S20 FE Fan Edition.
Yeah, baby.
So Samsung had an event this week. I think Tim and I both forgot. And they announced the Galaxy S20 FE, the Fan Edition, which also had leaked heavily leading up to this. But the phone, it's not an A series. It's not anything else other than an S20 family member. I don't understand the Fan Edition name, but you know, they could have called it the S20S or something. I don't know. I'm glad they didn't call it Light, because that's like the worst thing you can ever do to a phone brand is put a light on the end of it. So Fan Edition still sounds cheap to me. So I wish they would have gone something else, because this phone has actually a lot going for it. It's a $700 phone. It comes out in early October. Comes in 6 colors. They're all pretty fun. You know, they're probably the funnest colors we've seen in a range from Samsung in a while. And they're
there's
all
a red one.
Yeah, there's a red one. There's a weird brownish goldish. There's a light green. There's a light purple or violet. Anyway, so you've got 6.5 inch flat full HD display. It's AMOLED with 120 hertz refresh rate. That's awesome. So flat, no curves, 120 hertz. Snapdragon 865. So not the 865 Plus, but whatever. The 865 Plus is just a barely overclocked 865. So 6 gig RAM, triple rear camera, which will probably be good enough. 4,500 milliamp hour battery, which is large. NFC, MST in there. IP68. Does it have stereo speakers or anything?
I think so.
It does. Surround sound, I think. Yes. Anyway, does it have a headphone jack? Probably not, right?
Don't think so.
Okay. So it's a large-ish phone, but I mean, $700. So earlier I mentioned, you know, Pixel 5 was interesting when we knew what the price was around, and then Samsung releases this thing, and you go, well, if this is the same price as the Pixel 5, you certainly, other than the 6 gig RAM, you're probably getting a lot more for your money. 120 hertz.
120 hertz.
I mean, I guess you don't get quite the software support that Google provides, but it's not like Samsung's gotten a lot better.
Samsung's gotten a lot better.
Oh, it's plastic.
It's going to have actual, like, fast charging, because Google's fast charging is the slowest of all fast charging. So
I swear, I mean, it's not even 18 watt. They say it's 18 watt. Not, it is so slow. You plug in a Pixel 4 XL, it takes 2.5 hours to charge the damn thing. I swear. So slow.
Yeah, from 90%. Like, yeah. That, it's so ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
You get Samsung Pay on this thing, which obviously... So someone was earlier asking about the differences. The main difference is the other S20 family has ultrasonic fingerprint readers. This has optical. They're all IP68. This has a solid battery, 4,500 milliamp hour, mm-hmm. same as the S20 Plus. The S20, the small guy, 4,000 milliamp hour battery. Triple cameras, you know, 6 gig RAM, which is another big one, where all the others, you know, they start at 8, but mostly are 12 because you're getting the 5G variant. So, you know, that's half the RAM. It is a LPDDR5, same as the others. Micro SD slot, 865 processor. I mean, 120 hertz display, just like the other guys, but it's flat and obviously not quad HD.
But you can't
full HD plus.
But you still can't even run like the regular S20. You can't run 120 hertz at quad HD yet, anyway, right? So it's pretty much the same experience.
You're
really,
basically getting the
if
same.
You're
going to
run it at
120.
You run
yeah, exactly. So I mean, really, it's
got
a
Wi-Fi
fine.
6.
Yeah,
it's got a lot going for it.
It does. It's a Samsung phone, and I really think like that's the only thing. Like for some reason, if I'm going Samsung. Well, yeah, fan edition.
It's the
like,
name that kills it. If they would have called this, there's got to be a more creative name where they could basically tell you this is the Galaxy S20. Call it the S20A, the S, the S20T. I don't know. There's a way you could do it probably without it sounding like Galaxy S20 Lite, which is what fan edition just reminds me of. And it's totally better than a Lite phone. This phone... almost has better light. Specs than what we think the Pixel 5 is going to have. So
someone was talking about a headphone jack. I don't think there's a headphone jack.
I would be surprised, but I haven't paid.
I would also be very surprised.
I should pay more attention to it.
But
anyway, so it's up for pre-order now, and like Amazon has it for $100 off already, so you can get it for $600. Which is absurd for what you get.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty good. Like, if you're into Samsung phones, like, if you don't mind the One UI thing, I know some people are just, like, totally against it. But, like, you know, that's not bad.
Yeah, so a couple of people said it's basically the S20e. Yeah, it's kind of like an S20e. It's not the smaller guy, but...
Yeah, but like it's better than an E.
It is though.
You know, like an E was like the chump of the freaking lineup. Like this is not the chump. This is like it's a solid device.
Yeah, I don't know how they could have named it. Just Fan Edition just doesn't sound good. There's something about the name.
It's the Galaxy Pixel killer, man. I mean, this thing on paper, this thing probably destroys the Pixel. And I think that was probably this and whatever iPhone, like cheap iPhone is out there. Like, I don't know anything about iPhones, but it probably does pretty good against that in terms of paper specs.
Yeah. So. Google might have been smarter to try to release their Pixel 5 in August. Just drop it on us and be like, here it is, $650. And everyone would have gone, sweet. And then they would have been ahead of like this, the FE, new iPhones, whatever. You know?
Takes Google a whole year to design their phones. Like Samsung probably just had this in their back pocket and was like, oh, let's throw together a fan edition to kill the Pixel. And like Seriously. It took them 1 month to design, develop, and produce. Like that's just the way it is. The iPhone SE. That's right. See, I forgot that thing existed. $350 for an iPhone, huh?
Isn't the iPhone SE 400? Didn't the 4A undercut it by $50? That was like the only sell over the SE, I think.
I couldn't tell you. Oh, I know it's got the A12 Bionic chip, right. Though, right?
Bionic, that A12. Well, the A13 Bionics are coming, so look out, everyone. That A14 Bionic or whatever we're up to now.
Yeah, $399 for the SE, $349 for the Pixel 4A. That's right.
They had to undercut it in some way because everyone would have probably laughed Google off.
Come on, Gary the fireman.
All right, so 30 seconds of Kellen's watch talk.
Watch Talk.
This is important. Yeah. Watch Talk. It's so funny. I wrote up about this, the Tick Watch Pro 3, and you know the comment sections are just ghost towns in every watch, which is so weird because this one actually is important. Anyway, Tick Watch Pro 3. It's actually called Tick Watch Pro 3 GPS for some reason. Of course, it has GPS. Anyway, Tick Watch Pro 3 first wear 4100 watch, and it's $300. It's available now. It actually is an impressive Wear OS watch. I will say that. I've got like 12 seconds. Jesus.
time's running out.
The battery life is at least 2 full days, which is better than any Samsung watch I've used. Well, I'd say maybe the Watch Active 2. I'm totally out of time. Oh, damn it.
No, you're fine. No, keep going. Okay.
I got first charge. I got 2 days of battery life. No Wear OS watch has ever done that before. So the Snapdragon Wear 4100 actually will make a difference. Performance has been actually really good. I believe I'm waiting for an update on this, and I hopefully it introduces more stuff. I have no idea, but you know, it's got a speaker and microphone. Google Assistant actually works on it. It just, you can tell that this chip makes such a difference over that 3100, 2100 mess we've been dealing with. So if anything, even if you don't like this watch because it's giant, it's like 47 mil, and it's $300. I think if anything, it just tells us that Wear OS has maybe a chance, because when everyone else starts using this chip, they'll all be decent smartwatches. The only thing now is we need Google to kind of decide what they're doing with the OS. Are they going to update it? Because the OS still feels slow, and not slow, I shouldn't say. It feels outdated. And all of these watchmakers like Mobvoi, who makes this, and Fossil, they're having to do all the improvements themselves, right? They're building in battery modes. They're building in all these health features because Google refuses to. So anyways, this one's out. If you're buying a Wear OS watch, I wouldn't say run out and buy this if you've been waiting for them, because there's more coming. Like Fossil Gen 6 will probably be here. But really good sign of where Wear OS could go is assuming Google, you know, starts caring. Anyway, that's it. I know that was, you know, 5 minutes of Kellen watch talk, but I do like this watch. I mean, it is nice.
Yeah, no, it looks good. It's just way too big for me. 47 mil, like, come on. Eric says, if the chip makes such a difference, why is Google not on the front lines? Yeah, like we've been saying this for a long time. It's not Google carrying the torch for Wear OS. It's always been Qualcomm or these other companies that are like actually putting in the work. It seems like, I'm sure they're in development with Google. You know, I'm sure all of that you know, talking to each other. But, like, Google's not the one making the big announcements for Wear OS. And that really kind of pisses me off.
It's really bad. It's really bad, actually. Yeah. When the 4100 was announced, actually, it goes back even further. When the 3100 was announced 2 years ago or whatever that was, Qualcomm announced this sport mode. And they brought a Google engineer on stage. I think he talked about the chip a little bit or something and what they've done. But they talked about the sport mode, and I asked Google months later, hey, is this sport mode coming? And their response was, we don't talk about rumor and speculation. I went, wait a minute. No. You and Qualcomm announced this months ago, and they never said anything. And then the 4100 gets announced, and I reached out to Google and said, hey, do you guys have any comments on this? Because it's a new chip, and what's the future Wear OS? Anything. And they just ignored me. Like, they don't care. And then they obviously came out with a Wear OS announcement fairly recently that said, you know, we're bringing support to the 4100, but it's like, they just don't even care. And with this watch, which is the first 4100 watch, you would think maybe they would want to step up and talk about it. They don't care. Like, nope. Google does not care about Wear OS at all. I don't care what Google tells you publicly. They don't. They're going to figure out what they're doing with Fitbit. And I think Wear OS is probably just gone.
I mean, the Fitbit acquisition, I think we can clearly see had nothing. Well, I don't want to say nothing, but it had very little to do with making their own watch, and was really all just like about grabbing the data, right? Like taking that data before Apple could do it. I mean, that's so Google. It's so Google, man.
I just, like, all they have to do is figure out a UI update maybe and put some health features in. Or if they don't want to, because remember, Wear OS was supposed to be the same experience on everyone's watch. Remember that early on? Wear OS was just the one package everyone got, and you could differentiate by maybe some hardware features and design. Well, they've clearly, that's gone nowhere. So Google needs to just say like, all right, we're just going to let everyone customize this to be their own thing and do it that way or something.
Also, anyway. Jonathan Rivera says Google knows they can't compete with Apple Watch, though they are not even going to try. Well, the problem is that we have billions of Android phones out there, and these are all phones that cannot run an Apple Watch. So the fact is that there is a market out there, you know, for a device that isn't a Garmin, that isn't a Fitbit. Well, it technically could be a Fitbit now, but a Wear OS device. I mean, there is room for a Wear OS device. Something happened. And it was after the first generation of the Moto 360. Like, that watch kicked ass. That was a good watch. Like, sure, the UI, I mean, it was a little clunky. Like, but if you just give us that hardware, something happened with the hardware. Like, I remember the Huawei watches, like, a couple of those were pretty good. But then everything started going towards fitness. The Huawei Watch Sport, or all these, like, sport things. And I just want something like the Montblanc Sommier Deux that looks sexy, like actually performs well, thanks to a gig of RAM. And like, and that's what it takes, unfortunately, for Wear OS, janky OS platform. You have to have a 1 gig RAM at minimum. I just got one of these Fade Light diesel things. Oh, it's got 512 of RAM. It's like such a mess. It's like $330
bucks, dude. It's awful.
And it, no, it's like $400 bucks, I thought, right? Awful, I don't even know. It's terrible. So, I don't know. Wear OS devices really just kind of like trigger me.
They should.
Trigger warning.
I think this is a sign that Wear OS could be good. We just need Google. And I don't know if Google is ever going to.
It's promising. It's promising. So, that's good.
Andy dropped $2 and said, you guys should have a drink. I actually really want a drink right now. It's been one of those mornings. Yeah. It's only 11 o'clock here in Portland. Not that that has ever stopped your boy in the past, but.
It's just that kind of week, man.
It's just that kind of week. Yeah, it is. Cold Confession just dropped $2 as well. Says for Tim to repurchase. Wait, what?
He's talking about my Trump cutout.
Oh, did he? Is that gone? He's not back there anymore.
No, it's somewhere. It's literally somewhere. I just, you know, I redid the office and I think I misplaced him.
Misplaced a giant ass cardboard cutout.
Well, you know, he folds, right? So I folded him up and set him somewhere. But he's around. I don't have to repurchase him. I have him somewhere. But then also, like, things being not that we're going to get political whatsoever, but things got, like, kind of weird with him. Like, it's not really funny anymore. He kind of symbolizes, like, hate. And I'm not, like, big into hate. So, I don't know. Not to get political. No big deal.
I'm with you on that. Anyway.
Very polarizing.
Yes. Worst possible ways. Julian says, what's your preferred drink, Ellen? Oh, are we still talking about drinking at 11 in the morning? I'm a beer drinker. I mean, I'll dabble in red wine and whiskey, but it's mostly beer.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we get to trivia, we got to talk about this Amazon weird stuff. Yeah, we are close. All right, so Amazon had a hardware event yesterday and announced a whole bunch of stuff. I don't even know how much stuff. They announced like new Echo Dots and new Echo speakers, and they look like the Nexus Q. They're round balls, and they have a light on the bottom and things like that. And so they made new speaker. I don't have any Alexa products in my house, so I don't know if their stuff's good or not. Amazon Alexa stuff is kind of like Roku for me. I just don't know anything about it anymore, and I should probably pay more attention, but my house is just filled with Google Assistant stuff that I have no idea. Anyway. Couple of cool things. They announced new Echo Shows, which are the display versions, kind of like a home hub. And they're cool because, well, the resolution on the screen, I think, is nice. But the thing swivels. Like, it has a camera. It'll recognize your face and all that, I believe. But it swivels. Mm. So it can follow you around the kitchen or whatever as you're moving, I think. And then also, I believe you can dial into it sort of over Wi-Fi, right? And use it as a security camera and like pan around your house as a security camera. Those things are cool. I wish Google would do that with Max, with Nest Hub Max, make it so it swivels so you can check things out. Cause you can use those as indoor security cameras, but when they're pointed up at the ceiling, I don't know that is worth it. Anyway, so the new Echo Show looks cool. I don't really care about the rest of the Echoes. Although they made some Echo Dots for kids that look pretty cute. They have like animal prints on them and stuff, I think.
Yeah, that's dumb.
They also announced their own game streaming service that I think is just an exact copy of Stadia, although it actually has a UI that looks way ahead of Stadia. But their controller just looks like an exact copy almost of Stadia's. It's called Luna. It's $6 a month. How much is Stadia? $10 a month?
Something like that. Yeah, $10.
So Luna is $6 a month. And of course, there's Twitch integration. They'll have 4K someday. You know, I don't know if you're a gamer. Are these game streaming things popular? Like, is anyone using GeForce nope. now? Is anyone using Stadia? Is anyone going to use yes. Luna? Like, no one uses these, do they?
So there is a big distinction, right? And so just to clarify, so GeForce Now, they don't sell games. They host the games that you own already via a third-party store like Steam. And you just stream the games from their computers to your computer. So Luna and Stadia and xCloud from Xbox, these are all where they sell you games. They host them on their servers and you own them via their service. But now Luna is also different, where it's more like a subscription where you pay a month and then you get access to various games. So,
which is kind of what Stadia has almost become, right? They just keep adding free games to anyone.
They keep adding free games, but no one cares. No one is playing Stadia. There's got to be such a small community on there, and it's really kind of sad. Yeah. And not like in a funny way. Like, I actually feel bad. Yeah. So, no, it's not popular. No, I don't get it. But Amazon, if anyone could maybe figure it out, it could be them, right? Because it integrates nicely with Twitch. So you've got, say you've got a Twitcher. What do they call a streamer on Twitch? A Twitcher? Twitch streamer?
Just a Twitch streamer.
Yeah. Anyway, so they're playing a game. You could
just click a button, right? And play it.
Yeah, click a button and then you're playing maybe with them.
Which is pretty good.
Like, and so... Yeah, that integration is nice. Now, also, it runs on AWS, which is literally all around the world. That's one thing, like NVIDIA. I think all these companies, they use Amazon Web Services. So you should have some pretty darn good connections, right? Like, it should be good. So if people were worried about that, like the actual technical aspect of it, it should be fine, man. AWS slays.
I think depending
on
the game
library.
There's
a reason why everyone uses it.
Yeah. I think depending on the game library, the integration with Twitch is actually the sell. Because Twitch is such a massive platform that seems to only be growing that people are watching dude stream. They just click. Like, they'll be able to just click a button that sends them to Luna where they can play that game. That seems really big. And I know Stadia kind of does that, right, with YouTube. Like, doesn't Stadia kind of do that? I'm pretty sure Stadia does that. Like, if somebody's playing a game, like, you'll be able to click a button and launch into Stadia.
Oh,
that's a thing too, right?
So through YouTube, they allow for that. But that's the thing. Like, I don't see anyone doing that because no one does it. No one uses it.
Well, and part of that is it depends on the games, right? Because the games that people are streaming probably aren't on Stadia. Let's just say that. So.
Exactly. Like, you aren't seeing Dr. Disrespect or Shroud or any of these big guys, Wings of Redemption. None of these guys are playing Stadia, right? Because they're not getting paid enough to do it. So, and these guys, I mean, they command quite a bit of coin. So, another thing. I forget what I was going to say. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's just another game streaming service.
Channels, right? So subscriptions, the way that this could be better. So say in the future, there's going to say like an Ubisoft, like a developer channel you can subscribe to for say $10, $15 a month, and you get access to their entire library of games. So for example, instead of having to pay $60+ for the new Far Cry 6, I could just subscribe to it and then get Far Cry 6. I could get all the Assassin's Creeds. Like, there's a way to do it that makes fiscal sense for buyers. And I think that Amazon is on the right track, because what we thought that all these things would be was the Netflix of gaming, right? You've got a freaking library of things. You just subscribe to it and you get access to all of it. Apparently that wasn't doable with Stadia or something like that. But like, I want the Netflix of gaming. And I think Amazon Luna is positioned to be the closest thing to that. However, don't get me wrong, there is the Xbox Game Pass, which people love, right? Like, that is like a Netflix of gaming. You subscribe and you get access to a ton of games. The only problem is that it's just Xbox, right? So it, if you're a PC gamer or a PlayStation gamer, it doesn't necessarily make sense. So something that's for everyone, that's available on different platforms like Amazon Luna will be nice. Yes, PC as well, of course, but I'm talking different, so whatever.
Yeah. Anyway. At some point, though, it just seems like there just might be too many options, and they'll all have different, like, you know, Ubisoft will be on Amazon, but Stadia might group with EA. I mean, you know, I don't know, like, there, and so you're going to have to pick and choose. It's going to be some sort of battle, and maybe it'll be that thing where it eventually consolidates down to there's really just one or two instead of 10, but maybe not, because all the guys trying it are these huge gaming company. Well, Google's not a gaming company, but you know what I mean? They're all huge companies. So,
and all I play is Call of Duty anyway. And Call of Duty is on none of these. Yeah. So what do I even care?
Yeah, you don't. All right. So what we were all leading up to, though, was the only announcement that they made that matters. And that is the Ring Always Home Cam. So part of this whole hardware event was Ring, because Amazon owns Ring, and they announced this thing called the Always Home Cam. It's a drone. It is a mini drone security camera for your house. So how it works is it sits in this little dock, and then if you leave and you have a Ring security system, and somebody tries to break in, or there's a noise or whatever, or the alarm goes off, this little drone just goes,
and shoots him with a freaking built-in machine
gun. It rises out. You can have it do it, I believe, automatically if the alarm goes off, and it rises, and then it just starts flying around your house. It just flies
the Valkyrie style.
Yeah, it'll go to maybe where you have your your alarm sensors. Yeah, your alarm sensors and stuff. It'll fly to those rooms. And you set predetermined paths. Like, you can't just manually fly the thing around your house, as far as I know. And maybe you will one day, but that sounds really dangerous. But so it'll just rise up and it'll start flying down your hallways. You must have to somehow map out your house for it. And then, yeah, it'll go check on things, and you can look from your phone or your computer or wherever you are. You know, you can use it if you need to go check. They brought an example of, like, check on your oven in case you left it on. You could just tell it to fly into the kitchen and check on that, or if you left a window open or something like that. But it's like this craziest, wildest, scariest thing all at once, and so cool that somebody, and look, I don't like Ring. I think they are not a good company, but
terrible.
Yes. Yeah. But this is just one of those ideas that's so wild and silly that you just can't help but laugh at, and also kind of want, just because you want to have a mini camera drone that flies around. I showed this to my son and he was like, "Dad, I want to buy one of those." And I was like, "Well, we're not going to, and you can't right now. It's not coming out till next year." He's like, "No, I want the mini drone camera in our house." And I was like, "Yeah, I know you do, but it just looks so cool."
I think it looks absolutely sick. You know, like, I think it was The Verge that posted up, like, "We have questions about this camera." And it's like, yeah, there are a lot of questions, like, you know, or how will my dogs react to it? Does it go upstairs? Like, there's a lot of technical things.
Yeah. They didn't want to talk about it. I think it's just a
sweet idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I love the idea. Yeah. I think it's great because having a stationary camera is cool. Right. But, like, there's parts of my house where I don't have a camera looking. That
and you don't want to really have cool. 10 cameras in your house.
Right? No, I don't, because they're all so expensive. So if I could have one thing that literally moves about my house on its own and shows me what's going on, that is so sick. I love that idea. If the price is, you know, good enough,
it's $250. They announced the price.
Yeah, that's not bad. But do I have to pay for, like, Ring's freaking subscription service for video and all that nonsense?
I mean, there's probably levels to that. Nest. But yeah, so probably not.
I just need Google and Nest to hurry up and make their own drone then. But I know that's probably not going to happen.
Well, see, and that's one of those things that Amazon, every time Amazon announces their 15 million new hardware devices each year around this time, they kind of show you how Google just refuses to change. And a part of that, I think, is Nest, maybe the culture at Nest. Like, they, you know, Nest went for years where they had a thermostat and some smoke alarms, and then they bought Dropcam and then just never made anything else. And everyone went, "Google, you bought these guys, you've had them for 2 years, you've never made anything new." And And now they've started adding some outdoor cameras and stuff, but you know, everyone's making wire-free battery powered cameras. And now these Echo shows have swivel things. And now there's a freaking drone camera. So Amazon and all the companies they work, you know, Eero has Wi-Fi 6. So Amazon has all these companies just like Google does, except Amazon seemed to at least try to innovate. Whereas Google just kind of does the bare minimum. It kind of goes back to the Pixel phones, right? Pixel phones sometimes are the bare minimum. It doesn't seem like they've tried to innovate or do anything that different. Their hardware at home, their Nest stuff, feels very much like that as well. I mean, like Amazon, it was weird. They didn't live stream this event. It was only streamed to some press. And so they didn't even make a big deal out of it, which is very weird because this stuff, I'm assuming people would have liked to see as it was unveiled. But anyway, this thing was just cool. It kind of like won the day yesterday.
It did.
As they just show this little drone going, yeah, like they made this really silly video too, where this guy into a house and the drone rises and like flies at the guy, which of course, yeah, brought up like jokes about it needing lasers and whatever else, but mini drone.
All right. We could do trivia just real quickly, just for Bertzer. Sony Xperia 5 Mark II is official. We still won it. Great little device, 6.1-inch Full HD Plus OLED display, 120 hertz refresh rate, 865 processor, 8 gig RAM, 128 gig storage, triple camera, 4,000 milliamp hour battery, plus a headphone jack. This thing looks sick. And after posting our official announcement, Sony reached out to us.
Oh, that's right. Bertzer.
Yeah. I didn't have to send them an email. They literally came into our inbox and were like, hey, you guys want this phone? And I was like, duh. So we sent them our address. We'll have it in soon. And you'll see us check out a Sony phone. So moving on. Congratulations, Bertzer.
Bertzer, it's really happening. Like Tim wrote it up and wrote, this looks awesome. And yeah, Sony all of a sudden drops this email in our inbox and goes, hey guys, do you want one?
Yeah, thanks.
So it's coming. Tim will have one.
Mm-hmm. It's time. All right, we got to do this. Apparently Jackson has to get going, so I'm trying to bust out some trivia for him.
Trivia time. So if you're new around here, end of the show, we do DL show trivia and, we turn lights on, we dance a little, we don't, but we do questions and we put them up on the screen and all you have to do is be in the YouTube chat live and you type the answer. And if you type the answer correctly, the fastest will call out your name and you win a prize. And that's it.
Nice.
And iFixit sponsored the prizes for this week. We're giving everyone away. It's essential toolkits, right? Are they essential toolkits?
Correct.
Essential toolkits. So for all the at-home repairs of little mini gadgets, maybe your phone, maybe your watch, but other little things too. They're essential toolkits. I think I have a couple to spread around the house that I use for just random things. They're really handy to have. Everyone gets one. So we have three questions this week. A lot of times we do five, but we have three prizes. So we're doing three questions. It's very easy.
Everyone here is a pro. They know what's up.
All right. That's it.
I mean, they already have a ton. Like, did I leak the answers or something? Like, everyone's already answering stuff. I don't get it. Bunch of weirdos. Anyway, get your calculators ready for one of these questions. I'll just tell you that much. All right. I'm ready when you are, man.
Question number one is up now.
In what city is iFixit HQ located? Shout out to iFixit again for sponsoring this week's prizes.
Big shout out.
In what city is iFixit HQ located? They are in California, I'll tell you that much. A misspelling, but I'll take it. Chris Williams, San Luis Obispo.
That's right.
What a gorgeous city that is. Slow. Shout out to Slow.
Google searches are coming back now.
Yeah, you can tell. All right, congratulations, Chris. All right, so this next one, I'm just going to let everyone know a calculator may be necessary and some Googling, but that's what it takes to win around here sometimes. So I'm ready when you are, man.
Question number two is up now.
Exactly. How many pixels does the Galaxy Z Fold 2's interior display have? So the inside display, exactly. How many pixels does the Galaxy Z Fold 2's interior display have? Joel says, oh my God, never mind. We're looking for a specific number. Hey, now. Oh,
so
man.
Many numbers. I have no idea what
Tavares, going on. You are extremely close.
Oh, there it is. Oh, it's Chris Williams, though.
Oh, Chris, you come on, you guy.
Eli left
oh,
the number.
Oh, there we
off.
Go. Luke? Yep, Eli, so close. Luke Citrinetti. 1,844,160. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing Luke. Congratulations.
Yeah. Eli, you just left off the zero, but you were right there.
Sorry, Eli. But obviously we can't go typo on this one.
This one's specific.
Luke, congratulations. Luke Citrinetti. Love that name. Citrinetti. Where's that from? Where's that from? I'm not going to get canceled for asking that, am I?
No, you're not.
What is that? All right. Luke Citrinetti. Where's that from? Cool. I can never spell it right when I go to put it in the thing. Dennis.
Oh, man. You're never going to live the Tennessee slander down.
It's fine. Yeah, Zachary, by internal display, I mean, you know, the 40-out display, the one that's on the inside. I figured that was the best way to describe it. Anyway, Luke Citrinetti, congratulations, man. All right, I'm ready for question number three.
All right, question three is up now.
What was the internal code name for the glorious ceramic OnePlus X? Again, what was the internal code name for the OnePlus X?
Chris Williams knows everything. Did he just know that, or have we done this one before?
No, I don't think so.
I think so either.
Maybe we've done something similar. Julian Coronado with the correct answer of Onyx.
Julian Coronado, Onyx.
Shout out to Julian. I know he joined us a little late, but that's okay. You can still be a winner.
Eric, you were right behind Julian, by the way. I know you're probably going, right. I'm on the screen first. You're on our screen. You're just right behind.
It was like a split second right behind him.
And Syscast 7, you're also right there. Jonathan Barnhart right there. You guys were all really close, but on our screen, Julian was right there.
Yeah. And bonus points. Onyx was a color option for the device, not just the code name. So, yeah. Congratulations, Julian. So we've got Chris Williams, Luke Citrinetti, and Julian Coronado winners. I'm going to place my email in the chat. Just go ahead, email me. We'll send me your address and we'll get your prizes shipped out.
Congrats, boom. Everyone. I fix the prizes.
All right, Jackson. I don't know if Jackson's already left, but he didn't win, so he can leave now.
He already dipped. All right, cool. Yeah, normally we do five, but we had three prizes this week, so we went with three.
Shout out again to iFixit. Thank you very much.
Tennessee Tim.
I like Tennessee Tim. And also, I don't know if anyone noticed, but I'm rocking OG Droid Life hoodie ice cream sandwich.
That is super OG.
That thing is so sick. I found it in a bag of clothes I was going to donate, and thankfully I looked inside and was like, oh, hell no. I mean, it fits a little tighter than it used to, but that's okay. I don't care.
Yeah.
Joel says, give the hoodie away next week. Well, hey, if you're double XL or triple XL, let us know. We'll hook you up. We got some extras.
I was telling Tim before the show started, I was cleaning out a closet in my office the other day, and I found a box of old shirts, like the old, like original, I think, Droid Life logo. There might even be an ice cream sandwich t-shirt. There's some old stuff. They're all really, really weird size, though. Like, I feel like there's an extra small up to like a double XL. So, I mean, I was going to say, like, you email me if you're interested in possibly one, but I don't know what I've got. Scott R, shoot me.
You'll have to look.
Yeah. Scott R, shoot me an email because you said you want that size. I believe I've got a couple of those. They're old school. Yeah. See, Bertrand's like mediums. I don't think there's any mediums or larges or smalls. I think it's like extra
no
small
good sizes.
And XL or double. So I've got some stuff though. But yeah, if you
triple XL, possibly.
If you possibly need one of those sizes, those bigger sizes, send me an email. I'll dig in the box because I got to get rid of it. I don't know what else to do with it. Anyway,
yeah,
they're old school though. We also sell these with the new logo.
That's true. We do sell some sweet probably swag
right below the YouTube you're watching right now.
Yeah, pick yourself up a nice shirt, hoodie. They're soft, man. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, but yeah, if you guys might want a bigger size tee or something like that, just shoot me an email.
Well, you know, Eric, excuse me, popular sizes, you know, small through large, excuse me. I'm canceled.
You are canceled. Tennessee canceled you today.
Sizes. Oh, Jesus.
Canceled by sizes.
And the population of extra small and extra large and up, I'm just straight canceled. Sarah Washington with the $5 donation says, can't catch the show live today. Well, it's okay. You're a little late. Hoping the Pixel 5 is good so I can finally ditch the 2XL. Hey, man.
Probably be a nice pickup.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Probably be a nice pickup coming from a 2XL.
Sarah, sorry you can't catch the show. We'll miss you.
Good to see you, Sarah.
Xavier says, nice knowing you, Tim. Yeah, seriously, I'm about to bad. Have to retire the internet.
All right, well, I think that's it. So big Google event next week on the 30th. Then the 14th is OnePlus 8T. But next week, we might be swimming in Google products because I think all of them are just, maybe the phone won't be available in stores right away, the two phones, but the speaker, the Google TV, I think you're just going to be able to walk into a store on the 30th and buy those, if not before. So, yeah, we'll be back for a show soon, probably to talk about lots of different things.
Yeah, I mean, September 30th, next week, right? Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, we're not going to really have a choice.
No, Fold 2 review soon. Some more videos there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Get yourself a Fold 2. I don't know if you have to like take out a mortgage on your house or whatever. I don't care. Just get one.
Just refi you can add on a Fold 2. Might as well.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, that's probably one of the better financial decisions you can make right now in 2020, pandemic,
economic
collapse.
Yeah. Don't take Tim's financial advice either. It's fully canceled now. Anyways.
Stay safe, everybody.
Peace.